Chip.
Thank you, Father. We do owe all to you. And this is how we know what love is. While we were yet your enemies, you chose us. You didn't wait for us to do the right things, Father. But while we were still living in sin, and Father, while we were yet your enemies, you sent your Son to die for us. So, Father, we are bought with a price. And, Father, a price we could never pay back. We owe all to you. So, Father, this morning, we want to just say thank you for Jesus. You know, we just went through communion. And, Father, this is how we know what love is, in the fact that he laid down his life for us. And in the scriptures, he reminds us, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down for you. This is where his blood ran red. Father, life ran out of him so that it could run into us. And it's through that shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have life today. So, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the things that he suffered. But most important, Father, we now know what love is because of the example that you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for Jesus. Now, Father, for the rest of this service, this is your house. These are your people. Father, these are your words we're about ready to get into. Father, quiet us down right now. Let us forget about everything we brought in right now. Let us focus on what we just said. We owe all to you. Right now, what we owe you is all of our attention. We need to block out everything else and just sit in quiet. You said, be still and see if I'm not God. So, Father, help us to quiet down right now and just listen to what you would have to say to us this morning. And then, Father, as we hear, let us apply it to our life so that when we go out of here, we don't go out the same way we came in. And then we'll be able to say, man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord again today. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence being here. Now be with us, Father, as we break your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, how is everybody this morning? Let's try something different. Anybody know what today is? All right. You guys actually sound like you believe that today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice in it and be glad in it. You know what every day is?
The day that the Lord has made.
Yep, that's right. That every day, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And you know why I can rejoice? Because I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved by the God of the universe, and I know that I'm loved because he sent his Son to die for me. And you know, when I get up tomorrow, you know what I'm going to think about? I'm loved. I'm not by myself. God is with me. He tells me that in his word. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Do I go through stuff?
Yes.
Do you guys go through stuff?
Yes.
Are you guys the exception to the rule? Nobody out there goes through anything, right? But the stuff we go through, when we go through it, do we understand that God allows us to go through it to improve our lives, not to make fun of us? He doesn't sit up there like some little puppet on a string. He says, I have a plan for you guys. He has a plan for you and I. And that plan is not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. The God of the universe has a plan for us, and that is to give us a hope and a future. You know, he's already given us that hope, and you know where that hope is at? It's in Jesus Christ. The future that we have is that we know that there is a home for us in heaven. So we have a hope right here, right now, in Jesus Christ and what he does to us in our life. And our future is where we're going to end up. Isn't that awesome? So how can we not be happy? But still, it comes down to, a lot of times people come to me and they say, Pastor, why are we really here? What is life really about? I know what it's about. It's about getting up. If you ask a farmer, it's about getting up and planting his crops, right? Or growing his cows. If you go ask a guy that builds cars, you know what life is about? It's about building cars. You go ask a mom, you know what life is about? It's about raising a family. You know, you got all these things, but what is life really all about? Why did God really create us? Let's go to my first slide. I want to show you something. Maybe I have a slide. What's that say? Why did God create us? Period. God created us to love Him and to love one another. And when we're not doing those two things, we're walking outside the will of God for our life. When the rich man came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, Master, there's so many laws. What do I need to do to fulfill all the laws?" And you know what he said? Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do these two things and you fulfill all of the law. So when God came down from heaven and he created man out of the dust of the earth, and I don't care what anybody else said, God created man. God created man. And when God created man, he did something different for man than he did to anything else in the universe. He said, "Let there be light," and guess what? He said, "Let there be land," and guess what? He said, "Let there be fish," and guess what? "Let there be birds," and guess what? He didn't say, "Let there be man." He came down from heaven, and it says, in the dust of the earth, he formed man. And he said to them, "Let's make man in our own image." You know who we look like? God. Now, why would he make us in his own images if he didn't love us? Think about that for a minute. He wanted us to look just like him so that when he came down and fellowshiped with Adam and Eve, it wouldn't scare him to death. So he, in the dust of the earth, makes Adam and Eve. And then he does something different. He breathes the breath of life from his nostrils into man. And man came alive. He created us and then gave us his life. That's what makes us children of God. It's his life inside of us. And that life inside of us yearns to get back to where it came from. It yearns to get back to having a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, the other day I was reminiscing through some of my stuff, and I come across a note from one of my sons. And I happened to be out of town a lot when they were growing up, and he wrote me a letter when I was out of town, and he said, "Hey, Dad, I hope you hurry up and get this project done because I can't wait for you to get back home so that we can spend time together. And maybe you can get a few more game cartridges and we can play games together when you get back home. I pray you hurry up and get back because we miss you." And I thought, there's a picture of our Heavenly Father. He created us. And he's saying, "Hey, guys, when you have time, please come back to me because I long to love on you. I want you to love on me and I want to love on you and you love on me." Okay? And we can see that and we want that in our earthly families, but more importantly, God wants that for us in our heavenly families. We are the sons and daughters, which makes us the children, which makes us all brothers and sisters in. We are part of one big family. Now, I'm going to share with you today. Everybody understands that, maybe don't all understand, that we were created for one thing, to love God. The second thing, to love each other. Boy, the way some of you love me, I don't want you to love me anymore. You hear what I'm saying? what your definition of love is and my definition of love and God's definition of love is must be two separate things. We need to get to the place where we understand what love is. How do I understand what love is? I understand what love is when I see that God sent his son to die for me. He laid down his life for me. When God said to Jesus, hey, I need somebody to go down there and suffer all these things for these people. Jesus looks down and sees all of us and says, yep, I love them just like you do, Lord. Put me in. Wait, you know all the things you're going to have to go through? Yep. Do you know all the things you're going to have to suffer? Yep. Do you know the way they're going to reject you? Yep. Do you know the way they're going to spit on you? The way they're going to do all these things to you? And how many of them are going to accept you? Not very many. But he says, put me in anyhow, Dad. Because I love them. And I want to show them just how much you and I love them. Now that's love. Knowing that most of the people weren't going to accept him. Knowing that all of the people were going to turn on him, knowing that he was going to be crucified. Now that's love. Now he says, I want you to learn how to love me. Now what he says in the scriptures is this, and I want to get to this before I get into this message. He said we're supposed to love God. But he also tells us, how can we love God who we can't see? If we can't love one another who we can't see. I don't know about you, but how many of you want love in your life? How many of you wish that people could do it a little bit better than what they were? How many wished you could love people better? Me. I want to take us through a few things here. Okay? Go to my first slide. And you've seen this before. The breakfast. There's eggs and bacon up there. Go to the next slide. The chicken or the pig. When it comes to breakfast, the chicken was involved. See? Here's my eggs. Tomorrow I'll lay more eggs. And tomorrow I'll lay more eggs. The pig, in order to make that breakfast happen, what happened? We sing, we owe all to him. The pig gave his all for breakfast. That's his sign of commitment, the pig. The chicken, oh, here's a few eggs tomorrow, I'll lay a few more. It's okay, and the next day I'll lay a few more. When we look at Christ, was he committed or was he involved? Well, how do we know he was committed? I could tell you one of the ways I know he's committed. Look at that hand. You know, there's a song out by Casting Crowns that if you've never heard it, you need to hear it. It's called The Only Scars in Heaven. When we get to heaven, all of the things that we've been through and all the things that we've suffered are going to be made new, and there won't be any scars or any mental or physical or financial or any kind of scars we're going to take. We're going to be created perfect, and in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be made perfect. But I do believe when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to see? He's going to see his nail-scarred hands. And when we see those nail-scarred hands, we're going to fall on our face. And those are the only scars we're going to see in heaven. Because that's a sign of just how much he loved us. He says, I love you so much that I'm willing to lay down my life for you. He said, I'm committed to you. Are you committed me? Are you willing to lay down your life for me? Now, does that mean I got to lay my life down? Sometimes. You know, you hear the stories about going on in war and somebody throws a hand grenade into a foxhole and one guy jumps on it and he lays down his life for the rest of the people. But I'm here to tell you there's another kind of laying down our life. It's when we don't do what we want to do and do what somebody else needs us to do. Let me say that again. It's not doing what we want to do and stopping and laying down our plans and doing what somebody else needs us to do. That's love. How many of us have plans for today? I had plans for the other night. Gonna go for a ride in the car with my wife. Just get in the car and my phone rings. Says, hey, we need somebody to come over and talk. No problem. My wife and I are on our way. We stopped our plans to go take care of the needs of somebody else. When I got all done, it was better than going on any ride I ever planned to go on. At the time, I thought, oh, really? I get one free night. And I'm going to go take a ride in the car with my wife. And then I get this call that I've got to go tend to something. But guess what? I wouldn't have traded that for anything in the world. I stopped what I wanted to do and took care of what I needed to do for somebody else. When I look at him, what's he got on his face? Smile. And he's holding out his hands, saying, I love you. I love you. Can we go to the next slide, please? So what the Bible tells us in Philippians is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to stop right there. We don't remove our mind and put somebody else's mind in us. What we've got to have are the same thoughts and the same dedication that Christ did. We got to be all sold out to God, and we got to be sold out to each other. And that's what Christ was. He was sold out to God, and he was sold out for us. And he said, let that mind be in you. Let's get one thing settled today. I'm on fire for God, and I'm on fire for you. I am here today because I love God. I am thankful for all the things that he's done for me in my life. First and foremost, he gave me life by giving me forgiveness of sin. He did for me something I could not do for myself. And as we said in the Seder dinner, if that would have been all he did, it would have been enough. But that isn't all he did. He said, I'm going to help you now become all that you can be. I'm going to put you through things so that you will learn who I am and you will grow closer to me. And as we go through those things that God sees as good for us, you know what we do? We complain. In the scriptures, he reminds us to every time we go through something, what are we supposed to do? Whine and complain or count it all joy? But what do we do? Correct. So we end up being involved and not committed. So let's start right now by saying, I am going to let this mind be transformed into what Christ's mind was. And that is, I'm going to put God first. And I'm going to put others second. And me last. You know what joy stands for? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Now we get this mind in us. Now listen to me. Whatever God asked Christ to do, he argued about it, right? He'd say, no, Father, I got a better plan. No. He'd say, what? Not my will, but be done. That's the mind we got to get in us. And so when he says, hey, please, get this if you get nothing else. Christ was subject to God, even though he was equal with God. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. Go to the next slide. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's God the Father and God the, and the three are one. So when God sent his son, really God was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, but God then became flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. But he did what? Thought it not equal, a robbery to call himself equal with God. So he was somebody. He was equal with the most powerful being in all of the world. He was equal with God. And so since he was, what did he do? And look what he did. But he made himself of what? Who made him that way? Himself. So guys, we have a choice to make today. If we're going to let this mind be in us that was in Christ, we got to say, I'm of no reputation. I am a nobody. Can I ask you, what are we without Christ? Can I ask you another question? Let me do it this way. What was one of your relatives' names 100 years ago? But what's the name that nobody ever forgets? The one that made himself of no reputation, his name goes on for what? And every knee and every tongue shall bow at what name? So it says in the scriptures, as we humble ourselves, he does what to us? He lifts us up. But if we lift ourselves up, guess what? He says he'll humble us. I don't know about you, but we have a choice. We can humble ourselves or he can humble us. I think I'll take the first option. But we got to get committed and we got to work on ourselves. It's not my job to go up to Bill and say, hey, Bill, boy, I think you're getting kind of full of yourself. You better start working on humbling yourself. And then his wife will jump right in and say, yeah, you know, you need to start working on yourself. Who did Christ humble? So who should we be working on humbling? All right. And as we work on humbling ourselves, then it has an effect on everybody else around us. And so he humbled himself and he made himself of no reputation. Even though he was the Son of God, the King of Kings, when the demons started to say, Son of God, why are you here? You know what he told them? Shut up. I don't want anybody to hear that I'm the Son of God. I want them to follow me because they believe in me, not because of what I say, but because of what I do. Not because of what anybody else says about me, but because of what I do. So when we say this to ourselves, I don't want anybody to follow me because of what I say, but because of what I do. Then what is it, the two things I should be doing? And guess what? When he made himself of no reputation, he took on some kind of form. He came as the king of a country, right? What did he come as? A servant. And he came what? In the likeness of man to serve us. So if we're going to have the mind of Christ and we're going to do the things that we need to do, we need to make ourselves of no reputation. And to take on the form of a... Yeah, Bill, that's good for you. You become the servant because I need somebody to serve me. Sherry, you become a servant. And if you become a servant, but pretty soon I got a lot of people to serve me. Each of us have got to apply this to our own life and let this mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus. And this was the mind that was in him and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he what?
Humbled himself.
I love that picture. He's standing there in a robe. And you know, I really like this one. Sorry, Cindy. When you go look at my wife's closet or mine, there is more than one robe in there. How many did he have? How many houses did he have to call his own? He humbled himself. God lifted him up and gave him a name that's above all other names. You know what the problem is today? You know what the world teaches us? It doesn't teach us to humble ourselves. It teaches us to go out and make something of ourselves. Look at all of this stuff that they sell. If you buy this perfume, man, then you're going to smell like this and everybody's going to, you know, think you're awesome. Or if you drive this kind of car, you're going to be something. You know, it's all about who we are instead of about what we are. What we are in Christ Jesus. And are we spending too much time trying to lift ourselves up? And you know what I really like? I really think it's funny because I see people trying to lift themselves up. And you know how they do that? They look to see who's above them. And you know what they do? They start saying bad things and start spreading rumors about them so that they get taken out of that position so they think they can get moved up. I mean, I come from the business world. And in all cases, you see that constantly. Where people are down here and they're envious of somebody up here. And in order to get from here to there, instead of humbling themselves and becoming a servant and becoming the best servant that they can be, they look and they say, oh, I know how to get there. I'll just start spreading bad things about this person. I won't listen to them. And when they lose their job, I'll be the one who gets lifted up. And if they aren't the one who gets lifted up, you know what they do? Whoever gets in there next, you know what they do to them? Same thing. And it's a vicious cycle. Did Christ do that? What did he stay his whole life? Humble. Even when he stood before the governor. And he's standing there and he says, don't you know I have the power of life and death over you? He said, you don't have any power over me. He just stood there. At any time, he could have exercised his power. He could have shown the whole world who he was. Instead, he did show the world who he was by what he suffered and what he died. And he remained humble. You know, there's a country western song that's out. It's an old one. And I love it. Every time it comes on, I crank it up. When I'm not listening to the gospel, every once in a while I slip on country. And there was a song that reminds us, always be humble. Isn't it funny? We have to be reminded to be humble and kind. Not only did he humble himself, but he became what? He became what? You know, I think that's the word that most people hate. Obedient. It's like a cuss word. You know, you ask your kids to be obedient to you, and what do they tell you? So sometimes you got to beat them a little bit, you know, in order to get them, ground them, stick them in the corner, do whatever it is to get them to be obedient, right? Judy, why are you laughing like that and you got your head nodding so hard? You never had that with Marvin, right? He was always obedient, right? Yes, Marvin's going, yes, Judy's going, no, 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 no. He became obedient even unto death. Here's what I want to just share with you real quick. The things that God asks me to do usually don't take away my physical life. I'm not being asked most times. There are some people who follow and are obedient even unto physical death. I understand that. But most of the things that God asks me to do are not a threat to my physical life. But yet in sometimes, you know what I still do? Come on, anybody else ever been like that? We need to get this mind in us that no matter what God asks us to do, we're going to be obedient even unto the death. Even unto the death of the cross. The worst way you could have thought about dying. Okay? Go to the next slide for me, please. Here's what Paul says. And for this, thereto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And for this cause, I gain all these things. Well, if Christ suffered, guess what sometimes he's calling us to do? How many of us want to suffer? But Paul is saying, for this cause, what cause? Because I'm dedicated and because I have this mind of Christ in me and because I'm going to be obedient to the will of God,
I've made up my mind. I'm going to follow God, and I am committed. Therefore, I suffer these things. And even though I'm suffering, guess what? I am not ashamed. Whenever we get into a position where we're suffering, sometimes we feel like we should be ashamed. Anybody suffering anything right now? Oh, yeah. I'm suffering all kinds of things right now. But he says, I'm not ashamed to suffer for the gospel's sake. What did they say when they were in prison and they started rejoicing and singing songs? They said, praise God, I have been found worthy to suffer for the gospel. When are we going to keep that kind of a mind in us? Now listen, these are the basics. Now listen, too many people want to be a jacuzzi Christian. Anybody know what a jacuzzi Christian is? As long as it's all warm and bubbly, I'm in. When it starts getting a little tough, then I might be asked. Then we have to understand, are we committed or are we involved? Are we willing to suffer for the gospel's sake? And are we willing to rejoice when we're found worthy to suffer for the gospel's sake? This is the fundamental stuff we got to get and we got to understand. When you give your heart and life to Christ, the problem that I had, I came to the altar when the calling was on my heart and I came up here and I gave my heart and life to Christ and I floated away from the altar knowing that my sins were forgiven, my burden was taken away, and I thought everything is going to be on cruise control from here on out. Oh boy, was I in for a rude awakening. It says we all go through things. The just and the unjust. The difference is he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never gives us more than we can handle. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing, there's nothing out there that I can't handle. We got to get this in our minds, people. Go on to what Paul says next. For what did he say? For I know whom I have believed. Do you know today who you believed? I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the born of a virgin, that he came and he lived a perfect life, that he laid down his life for me, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. That's what I believe, and that's who I believe in. And that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead works in my body today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Will you receive that today? That we should be happy in giving God a praise offering. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I know who you are. Because of what you've done and because of what you're doing in me, I know who I have believed in. So here's what we should be doing. Oh, world, I don't care who you say Jesus is. I know who he is. I don't care what you say about creation. I know God created me. I know God gave his son for me. I know who he is and I know who I am in Christ. And then I'm going to stand and wait for the attacks of the devil. And I'm going to stand in the armor of God, knowing that all those things are going to be coming at me. But I got the ability to stand because I know whom I have believed in. Next slide. And this is what I really like. I not only know who I believed in, but I have been persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have. What? Involved? Committed. What? Committed. What we better do? Committed. Oh, we better get committed. He says, I will help you keep that which you have committed. If you're a jacuzzi Christian, guess what? You ain't committed. If you're only in when it's all warm and fuzzy, guess what? You ain't committed. He's going to keep me against that day. This is what I love. When I look at that picture, I see love. I see humility. I see a servant. Then the Spirit asked me, Chip, when people look at you, what do they see? Oh, my. Do they see love? Do they see humility? Do they see a servant? That's the question that we should be asking ourselves every day. This is the basics of the gospel. Why do you think Christ came? Why do you think we call ourselves Christians? Because we're supposed to be acting Christ-like. We're supposed to imitate him and to follow him and to obey him. I just see that smile and I see that outstretched hand and it makes me want to run to him. It makes me want to just wrap my arms around him and be loved by him and love on him. Go to the next slide. This is my commandment. That what? Okay, if we are going to get committed, then guess what we got to do? Got to love one another as I have loved you. Now go to the next slide. I had some more to share on that, but we talked about this before. What causes love? Forgiveness, humility, and servitude. All of those things that we saw in Christ. What destroys love? So what should I be doing in every morning when I get up? I should be doing a gut check. I should be looking in the mirror and saying, okay, when I look at myself, do I see forgiveness, humility, and servitude? And if so, then what I see is Christ coming out through me. I am not Christ, but Christ's reflection and his love and his mercy and his grace should be coming through me every day. And if we're doing like that other country western song, when we get up in the morning, it says, I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Are you clapping because I stopped singing? You want more? You must have your hearing aids off, Glenn. How do we do that? We make up our mind each day. He says, every day I got to get up and I got to crucify the flesh. How many times do I got to crucify the flesh?
Every day.
Because with the flesh, all these other things sneak in. I had more to talk on, but I want to just get to a couple of points here real quick. Okay? Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates close friends. When forgiveness comes, what happens? Restoration comes. I want to show you this next one real quick. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Anybody know this verse? What's he given us? He's given us what? Forgiveness. He gave his only begotten son that who should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's forgiving us of our faults so that we can have a relationship. And the next verse that goes on like this says, for God sent his son into the world, and not his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him that it might be saved. Now I'm going to get real with you for just a second. You know what happens around the world? Is whenever there's a fault, instead of offering forgiveness, you know what we do?
Karen? Do you know what Sherry did to me? Boy, we got to get even with her because I can't believe the things she said about us. Did she say the same thing about you? Yes, we got to bring some condemnation on her. And we got to get even and we got to get our pound of flesh. And you know, if that ain't enough, Glenn, you know, do you know the woman you're married to? Let me tell you some things about her just in case you don't know it. And I'm only telling you this because I love you. And I want to try to protect you from her. Okay? And you need to watch out for her. I'd sleep with one eye open if I were you because of some of the things she said and done to me. Are we bringing forgiveness? Not only are we bringing condemnation on that poor person who may not even be guilty of it, but you know who we're bringing greater condemnation on? How many of us have done it? We got to get serious and we got to say, today is the day that I put the mind to Christ on. Today is the day I get serious about getting committed to Christ. Today is the day that I quit worrying about the flesh. I surrender it all because I owe it all. Today is the day I got to understand I am nothing. I am nothing without Him.
Amen.
It is only in Him and through Him that I am anything. And if I'm going to become something, then I got to learn to become like Him. I can work really hard to make something of myself. And at the end, I've wasted it all. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Laid it all down. Came in the form of a servant. God gave Him a name above every other name. When people come and they do something wrong or they say something wrong, what are we supposed to do? Run around and tell everybody and try to get even or try to get our pound of flesh back out? Or is it just to go and say, I forgive you? What did Christ say when He was hanging on the cross and He looked at those who hung Him there and it said all the bad things? Father, one of His last acts was to give us forgiveness. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness means literally to. Oh, yeah, I forgive you. I'm hanging out with her. She did that to me. You know, I forgave her, but, you know, I'm not hanging out with her because, you know, she might do that again. You got to watch her, and she might get you again, too. So you and I better hang out with one another, and we better protect one another. We better keep our eye on her because she said she was sorry, but I don't know if I really believe her. Yeah, you're right. I don't think she really was sorry either. She kind of just said, I'm sorry. You know, when my kids were growing up and they would do something wrong to one another, we'd get them together, we'd say, make sure you tell each other you're sorry. You know what they do? They look at each other and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry too. Okay. When we forgive one another, we're to let go of it. Look at what Christ does for us or what God does for us. Go to the next one, please. We forgive others when we let go of resentment and give up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we have suffered. Okay? When God forgives us, He takes our transgressions and moves them as far as the east is from the west. So far removed are our transgressions from us. And you know how many times He remembers them again? That's the mind we need to have in us. That's the mind that's in Christ Jesus. We need to get that mind. We need to get committed and we need to make that happen. There's a bunch more that I got to go through here, but I'm not going to make it because it's already 12 o'clock. I'm going to give you the Paul Harvey version. I hope you come back next week for the rest of the story. Oh, you forgive me? Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Are any of us perfect?
No.
Are we going to offend one another from time to time? Do we offend God from time to time? And he still forgives us and he forgets it. Let's get that mind in us. Okay? Kathy, John, can you come to the piano? There was a song I heard on the radio the other day. I'm not going to sing to you again, I promise. Okay? I don't want to hurt your ears any worse than they've already been hurt. Okay? And it made me think of something. And it's an old hymn. And it's called, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why do I love Jesus? Because he what? Can I ask you a question today? Do we really love him? Can we make a commitment today to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus? Can we make a commitment today that we're going to get serious about following the Lord? That we're going to humble ourselves. We're going to look in the mirror every morning. That we're going to check to see what we see reflecting back to us. And is it Christ reflecting back or is it us reflecting back? We're going to close with this song and then I'm going to sing. I'm going to pray us out of here. I'm not going to sing. Today, so no excuses.
I can see your beautiful face. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? They can hear me? You know, I'm not really ready to sing. Wasn't that meat? Wasn't that good? Doesn't that move us? Doesn't that make us ponder? Does that make us think of our first love? That maybe for those of us that his love, his true love that we felt at one time is missing. That maybe we need to rededicate ourselves, come to the altar and rededicate and say, yes, I've moved away. I know better, but things are pretty good. Well, after that sermon, I don't feel like things may be pretty good. We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate to be here. We're very fortunate to have this place. Don't ever take it for granted. This is really nice. The fellowship among us and the fellowship with the Word. I have to stop. But the love of Jesus is real. It's in your heart. And if it's been in your head, rededicate and get it in your heart. Because it's the best love, the greatest love. It'll be with you. It travels with you. It's in your dreams. It's in your day. It's really good, guys. Really nice. I need an intro. Can you hear me, Kath? Kath, can you hear me? Can you hear me? No, can you hear me? Okay. 52 years last month. And yes, I married an angel. Okay, 387, I'm sorry, 387 in your hymn book, 387. Well, sometimes that gets, that Hitachi thing falls apart.
In mine ear, the sweetest name on earth.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And this is how we know what love is. Not because we loved you, Father, but because you loved us. And oh, how I love Jesus. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Forgive me, Father, for the times when I was only involved. Father, from this day forth, I commit my life unto you, Father. I want this mind that is in me, Father, to be the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. One who finally understands, Father, that it's not about me. The gospel of Christ is not about me, but it's for me. And it's for me, Father, because I need it. So, Father, hear our heart today. Hear our plea, Father. What we want is more of you in our life. And the reason we don't have it sometimes, Father, is because we're not as committed to you as you are to us. So, Father, from this day forward, I say, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And whatever you ask, Father, we will do. So, Father, thank you for this word today. Let it sink deep into our hearts, Father. Let us go out of here today, not the same way we came in. But Father, awaken that resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, quickening these mortal bodies. Oh, church, why do you slumber? Let that resurrection power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, work in you. Oh, Father, change us today. Set us on fire for you, Father. Oh, Father, set us on fire. Thank you, Father, for this word today. Now, Father, as we leave, let us not just be hearers of the word, but, Father, let us be doers of the word. And let us know that that doing has got to start in us first before we can do anything for anybody else. So, Father, thank you for this word again today. Thank you for all you're doing. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.